Welcome to the Enlightened Investor Podcast, your one-stop shop for investing in the future you wish to live in.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Once again, thank you for tuning in. My name is Somil, and today we're gonna try and understand a concept that will probably play a huge role in a world where there's abundant innovation and disruption. You've probably heard me use the terms exponential growth and network effects quite often. But what exactly do they mean? Let's explore these concepts a little more and find out why they're playing such an important role in deciding who wins and who loses as we enter the golden decades of technological dominance. In simple words, exponential growth refers to a greater increase in value over time, whereas linear growth refers to a steady increase in value over time. So basically, exponential growth increases in speed over time. A good example of exponential growth is compound interest. For example, let's say you invest $1,000 in financial assets that pay 10% interest annually. With simple interest applied, the annual interest would remain $100 throughout the life of the asset. So at the end of 30 years, the total interest paid on the $1,000 would be $3,000. Now let's take compound interest. Since the interest is calculated on the accumulated value every year, you would get the following returns each year. In year 1, it would be $100. In year 2, it would be $110. In year 3, it would be $121. In year 10, it would be $1,594. In year 20, it would be $5,728. And in year 30, it would be $16,450. As time passes, the rate of growth increases, and by the end of year 30, the total compound interest earned on $1,000 at the same 10% rate is $16,450 as compared to a $3,000. That is 3x versus 16.5x over the same time, same amount, and the same interest rate. Now, when you apply the same exponential model to a business that has the capacity to grow at high rates for a long period of time, the results are phenomenal. The most relevant example of this application would be Moore's Law in the semiconductor industry. In 1965, Gordon Moore, the then co-founder and former CEO of Intel, had made an observation that the number of transistors in the integrated circuit would basically double every 2 years. In simple words, the prediction was based on the logic that advancements in manufacturing technology and scale of production, the efficiency of the transistors will continue to increase and the size of the transistors will continue to decrease. This prediction was roughly true, and hence we saw the meteoric rise of the semiconductor industry. To put it into context, if we compare Intel's first microprocessor in 1972 to today's processor, the performance is 3,500 times higher, energy efficiency is 90,000 times better, and the price of a transistor has reduced by 60,000 times, all in a matter of just 50 years. But this is still hardware. Any physical product requires a lot of capital expenditure. You need factories, labor, raw materials, supply chains, and so on. Without an increase in physical manufacturing capacity, you cannot produce goods at an exponential rate. For example, let's assume the best factory in the world costs $1 million and can produce 1 million items every year. Now this is at the peak of technological innovation, all right? Every time you need to double capacities, you need an incremental addition of that $1 million factory. So for 1 million items, you need one factory. For 2 million items, you need two factories. Similarly, for 10 million items, you need 10 factories. Even with economies of scale, you still would need around 7 to 8 factories at least. So that's a lot of capital, and that isn't always a very attractive
business model if the capital is raised through debt.
So then what kind of exponential growth are we looking for?
Well, the one where the physical world takes a backseat and the digital world takes control.
This is a world where exponential growth doesn't require an incremental physical asset base. This is a world of network effects. Some of the largest enterprises of the world today leveraged the power of network effects to grow their businesses exponentially over the last two decades. From Amazon, Apple, and Facebook to Uber, Zoom, and Airbnb, most of the digital empires of the 21st century are modeled around network effects.
So what are network effects?
Network effects refer to the increase in value of a good or service every time an additional participant is added to the network.
Let me repeat that.
Network effects refers to the increase in value of a good or service every time an additional participant is added to the network.
Simply put, every additional person increases the value of the network by more than one.
Let's understand this from the perspective of the inventor of the Ethernet, Robert Metcalfe.
Metcalfe's law says that the value of a network is proportional to the square of the number of participants of a network. Basically, if there's 10 participants, the value of a network would be 10 squared or 100. But if the number of participants were to double to 20, the value of the network would be 20 squared or 400.
So every doubling of participants on the network quadruples the value of the network.
Now, network effects can be either direct or indirect.
When an increase in users creates more value for all the other users, it's called a direct network effect. For example, more users on Facebook creates a better experience socially for all the other Facebook users.
When an increase in users creates more value for other types of users, it's called an indirect network effect.
For example, more drivers on the Uber network creates more value for the customers of Uber.
Now, every business has its own way of leveraging network effects depending on their business model.
NFX, which is a venture capital firm, breaks it down into 13 categories or types of network effects that are actually possible.
Okay, let's take the example of Airbnb to kind of understand how network effects work.
Now, Airbnb is a platform that enables a host to list their property on the platform so that the guests can book them for a rental fee.
Clearly, this is a very simple business proposition to challenge the traditional hospitality industry.
This enables guests to experience a location or a destination in a very unique way.
Since the properties on Airbnb are mostly properties owned by individuals, the guests get to live in some of the most unique homes, like an exotic cottage by the lake or a luxury penthouse in a high-rise with a 360-degree view of the city.
The guests get to choose the type of property they want to live in, the location they want to visit, the kind of value-added services that the host is providing, and also sometimes the different experiences provided by the host.
On the other hand, the host gets to monetize a property that currently provides no income whatsoever without having to worry about competing with the large hotel chains with advertising costs, scale, brand value, or security, since Airbnb as the moderator takes care of all these things and provides the guests with the assurance of quality and security.
So Airbnb essentially creates a marketplace for hosts to compete with the Hiltons and Marriotts while providing guests with an option of unique locations and properties with all the convenience and safety of a large hotel chain.
This model works very well due to a few factors, but most importantly, it's because of the network effects.
Basically, a host will list their property on Airbnb since they expect enough guests to be using the platform. And a guest will book their stay on Airbnb only because they expect a wide variety of hosts listing their property on the platform.
So this creates a chicken and an egg situation. Hosts will not come onto the platform if the guests aren't there, and the guests won't come onto the platform if the hosts aren't there. And this is one of the primary reasons companies like Airbnb have to rely on extensive marketing and long incubation periods for scaling up their business. But once the platform crosses a critical mass of users, network effects start to kick in. And from here on, the growth is usually phenomenal. This is where the exponential curve starts to accelerate. As you have more and more guests on Airbnb, an increasing number of hosts want to list their properties on the platform. Eventually, the increase in properties available drives more user growth in search of more variety of properties. This then gets the ball rolling for the platform, and the traffic from here on can grow very rapidly. Alright, so what about the earnings and revenue of Airbnb? The cost of building an online platform isn't cheap to begin with, but sustaining through the incubation period when growth is slow and network effects aren't really making their mark is a lot harder. You have to bear all the costs and keep marketing and providing incentive packages and discounts to users to actually build a network first. The revenue model is basically taking a percentage of all the bookings made on the platform. So clearly at this point of time, revenues aren't really growing too fast. This means that the costs dry up most of the revenue streams, resulting in long periods of losses. But once again, once the platform hits that critical mass of users, network effects start accelerating and the revenues start to rise a lot faster than the costs can. While the costs increase in a linear fashion now, revenues start growing exponentially. Also, due to the network effects that we spoke about earlier, the cost of acquiring new users starts to decrease. All of this comes together to result in an exponential growth in earnings over time. Now, another accelerant of user-based platforms is ratings and reviews. As the user base increases, the requirement for more accurate matches with high-quality services start to increase. This puts ratings and reviews at the core of the model. This becomes a measurement of standard of quality and safety. Eventually, since all hosts want higher ratings, they ensure that the guests have a very good time during their stay and they provide better services and amenities. Similarly, since guests want hosts to accept most of their bookings, they will make sure that they are well behaved and don't damage the property or get complaints from the neighbors in order to get a 5-star rating from the host. So this rating and review system acts as an added layer of security and credibility, which acts as an incentive to raise the standard of quality for both parties, the hosts and the guests. This eventually attracts more users to the platform, once again demonstrating the power of network effects. YouTube is another great example of the impact of network effects. This is a platform that enables content creators to publish content for anyone and everyone to view. It has been labeled as the TV of the millennial generation. Unlike Airbnb, YouTube has three different parties involved: the content creator, the viewer, and the advertiser. YouTube's revenue model works in a way that benefits all three parties involved. First come the content creators, without which obviously the platform has no business model at all. This content is viewed by 1 billion+ viewers. These viewers then become the product that YouTube offers to the brands and advertisers that pay YouTube to embed ads in the videos that the creators make. YouTube then takes a percentage of this fee and distributes it to the content creators depending on the number of views they get to keep them incentivized to continue creating content. Now, since these ads are quite annoying for viewers, YouTube also provides a subscription service to the viewers which can eliminate all these ads. As for the unpaid users, they're bombarded with just the right amount of ads to keep everyone happy. The brands use this data from the viewer statistics
to understand their target demographics even better. They can basically understand who watches the ad, who skips the ad, who interacts with these ads, and a lot more. This helps them not just with the sales growth on YouTube and their online channels, but also helps them with deeper insights for their offline business. Another aspect of this model is cross-usage. Most creators are also viewers on YouTube, and a lot of viewers become creators eventually. Additionally, many brands have their own channels where they publish their own content. Also, a lot of content creators embed paid ads on YouTube to increase their viewer base and earn more. So a complete web of every kind of user on YouTube just keeps creating more and more data that attracts a lot more viewers, which in turn attracts more brands, increasing the revenues of creators and YouTube. And this goes on and on and on and on. Since its acquisition by Google, YouTube has been an unbelievable growth driver for them, and due to the exponential growth of the platform, we've seen so much content being created over the years. Since all this content can be shared with anyone outside the platform as well, it keeps adding more viewers to the network every single day. And as we discussed earlier, the addition of every new participant increases the revenue and the value of the platform and network by multiple fold, while the cost increases in a linear fashion. This consistently generates exponential earnings growth for the platform, all with the help of network effects. This is just the tip of the iceberg, and it's impossible for me to cover all of it in a single episode. But I hope that this introduction to two of the most powerful concepts in today's world can help you make a better investing decision. And I also hope that it makes you think twice before investing in any traditional old world businesses. The future is all about going exponential. Don't be left behind. And always remember, invest in the future you wish to live in.
Thank you for listening to the Enlightened Investor Podcast. We hope this podcast can empower you to make better investing decisions. The purpose of this podcast is purely educational, and anything discussed on the podcast should not be considered as investment advice. You can follow us on Twitter at The Enlightened Investor. If you wish to subscribe to our services or support us in our mission to enlighten and empower investors, please visit us on www.patreon.com/theenlightenedinvestor. And remember, invest in the future you wish to live in.